But we're reading today from the Old Testament, 2 Kings, from the second verse, second chapter, verses 1 through 12. There, I already got it out of the way. I got it messed up once. Listen for the word of our Lord. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by the whirlwind, Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were in Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to one side and to the other, until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." Elijah responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken up from you, it will be granted. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. If you hadn't figured out yet, this is Transfiguration of the Lord Sunday. Not only is that a mouthful, but it's one of those really strange church holidays that are difficult. It is not a great thing to try to preach about and to understand. It's a hard sell, too, to congregations who are really just now getting away from Advent and the Christmas season. We've gone to Epiphany and the joy of Christ being out to the world. And all of a sudden, we come to this strange day that marks the beginning in a few days of Lent. It is this slow down sign before you go to the stop sign of Lent. The Transfiguration of the Lord Day. Jesus goes up and turns into the biggest light bulb everywhere, into that mountaintop. The biggest light bulb there ever has been. And we hear of this great story about Elijah and Elisha, which is a great story, but kind of confusing, and wonder what the heck is going on there. It is all about this understanding of leaving from God is with us to what is the problem, or what is the reason that God is with us. And what are we to do with that? What is our response to the fact that God has come to be with us? God is literally with us, and our response, we usually say, is at Lent, Ash Wednesday, we are driven to repent. But I would tell you today that this Transfiguration of the Lord Day does speak to us, or it should speak to us, in some very real ways, even as we enter into Lent. If you just take the word as it's written, and this story goes from place to place, they go to on a journey, it seems, before that Elijah is taken up into heaven. And these are all things that are very particular places. The Jordan River, where they begin, it is where the Jews crossed over the Jordan River to be the people of God. God had brought them there, and this was a momentous occasion, a big change for the people of God. They were now into the promised land. Gilgal is where they came after crossing into the promised land, where they first camped. They have come to the place that God is bringing them, and now they are there and they stay. Bethel is where Abram built rocks were written up, some kind of altar to God, when God promised him that he would make of him a great nation. There are remembrances here that tell us that this is something about God's movement in the world, this idea that Elijah is more than just a guy who's getting taken up into heaven. And finally, they go through Jericho, and Jericho is the place where God gave the people their first victory over others. And it was a miraculous victory, one where they really never threw a single rock at anybody, and the whole city came tumbling down. It was by God's power that happened. Remember that word, power. It's a biggie. All of this is reminding the people who would be reading this, and hopefully us, of the power of God. How God is trustworthy, because when God says, we're going to do this, and I will do this for you, that you are actually going to have that done for you. Because God has the power to go and do that. God is trustworthy and powerful enough to provide what God says that God will do. And this story, this walk at the beginning of this story especially, is a story of all of the Israelites. And a story of both Elijah and Elisha. And to some degree, it is a story about us as well. As Christians, this is a part of our heritage. This was a coming to get to know God thing, and how God can be counted on. God is trustworthy. But you ask, what has this got to do with Transfiguration of the Lord Sunday? That's a big, long word. Yes, we know God is faithful. God does all these things for us. If we remember this first passage that we heard this morning, I hope we heard, of the apostles going up to the mountaintop with Jesus, and suddenly everything is a bright white. It is transfiguration. It is not just a light that comes on, but it is something totally different. Jesus becomes something different in the middle of this time. He is brightly illuminated. And Peter, who you can always count on to talk when everyone else would be quiet, Peter says, let's build 3 booths for you. In other words, let's get this light stuck in something because it's scaring me to death. I don't know if Jesus said anything, it's not recorded. If anything was done, I doubt it. This shining Jesus is whiter than white, whiter than anything has ever been before. And by the power of the Spirit and God Himself, it miraculously changes everyone around Him. They don't know what to do. They just know that there's a lot of power sitting there. And they're scared. Much like Elisha was as he saw the gates of heaven open up and the chariot and horsemen went into the sky. It is a remarkable story, but we wonder, what is this really all about in the end? And I got to tell you, this week, as I was thinking about it earlier on in the week, and I thought of some things, and I said, well, maybe this, maybe that. And then I was walking the dog, and really strange things happen when I walk the dog. and was going down College Road and turned just past Tommy Shomo's house, the Unity Alliance house on one side, and started headed down toward the rugby pitch as we will go along. And there were four Dominion trucks parked along the road. Not the little ones that show up when you have an outage at your house. They were the big ones. The big ones who work with big time electricity and stuff. And we're walking by, and there's a man who's standing out there, evidently having lunch, some in their trucks, one standing outside. And as my dog started peeing on his wheels, I felt like I needed to say something to him. And I said, "Oh, so you're getting ready to put the permanent power on this building that we have been renovating?" And I said, he said, "Yeah, we'll be here by the end of today. All of the power will be on for it." And I said, "Oh, good. So the transformer's set and everything's good." And he said, "Yes." And then he looked at me strangely. I thought he was going to say something about my dog, but he didn't. He said, "Oh, you know something about transformers and electricity?" And I said, "Well, I know transformers, you know, the first law of thermodynamics is that energy can never be created or destroyed. Therefore, we have it, and we have transformers to put that energy into a way that is useful for us and what we need, and to keep us safe, so that we don't blow things up with too much energy surging through your 110 sockets and such." And he looked at me strangely, and he said, "Are you an electrician?" I said, "No, I went to Hampton, Sydney." You learn everything at Hampton, Sydney. And by that time, my dog was finished, and so we went on, and I don't think he will ever get over that one. But it got me to thinking about this idea of power. We use power for a lot of different things, don't we? Where someone controls someone else, they have power over you. We talk about power that light up lights, and power that sometimes doesn't come on when it's supposed to in a microphone. This story of Elijah and Elisha, and this story of Peter and James and John and Christ on a mountaintop is all about power. Not power that comes through our outlets, but somewhat like that. It's the power of God. And the power of God that God gives to people, His people, the power that God gives them to change the world. And as I thought about this week, this fact is that God gives us, promises us, all the power we could ever do. Jesus came to earth and taught the disciples, "You have the power, and when I leave, because I'm with you now, and that Spirit isn't me, but when I leave you, the Spirit will be here, you'll still have the power to go out and change lives, to change everyone's life. You'll have the power to speak directly to God. You will have the power to pray for them and watch God's miracles happen. These are the things that I'm going to leave with you when I go." But the disciples, being human, they're a lot like us. We want a transformer there, God. We want something to turn down this power a little bit because we're scared. We're scared of all that power. And a matter of fact, we don't want to be anywhere close to that. We're like Peter. We want you to go over there in that booth and turn the shining off. I don't want to have to deal with that power. It's scary. That's what we do. We do it every day. Give me a little bit of the Spirit, God. You see, the Spirit is made available to us. Came after Jesus left. The Spirit of God came still, not in Jesus anymore, but around and available to us. But the first thing we want to do when we hear about that is, let's put in a little transformer. Let's dial this back a little bit. I don't want all that power that can change the world. I just want enough power to get me a good IRA amount and my bank account, have a good job, 2.2 children, all those things that we really want, when God is saying, I am giving you the power to change the world. All the power that was in Jesus, all the power that were in the prophets. I mean, Elijah did battle with the kings and won. He called to heaven and brought down lightning, fire, whatever, to consume the sacrifice. And then all of the people who did not believe in God, they got it too. Elijah didn't back off. He took it right straight up. No transformer there. Now, this was all after or before he went running off into the desert to get away from the queen who wanted to kill him. Even Elijah wanted a little transformer in there so it would be safe. Guys, God is not safe. He's not about creating us in a safe environment where we get to control everything. No, God is giving us the power and saying, I'm going to use you to make this power get even more. More scary, more bigger, more lots of things. But that's how the world will change. That's how people change. You will have the power to help people change and be better and make a better life for everyone. You see, God has proved himself to be trustworthy. And yet, we want to put that transformer between us. Perhaps this is a great Sunday to say this so that on Wednesday, as we enter Lent, you know exactly what Lent is all about. Taking out that transformer and trusting God, full of power, to come into your life so that with God's help, other people can have a better life. Start thinking about dismantling your transformers, growing closer to God and accepting what God is giving. Perhaps one day you will glow so bright and white that everyone will have to close their eyes. I give thanks to God because this has been given to us plainly, openly, and many times and in many places, and we see it. Let us be brave. Let us believe. And do as God says to change the world. Amen.